The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. And so again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The church has for centuries gathered. That's what we do in church. We gather. We do more than that, I know. But one of our qualities that we must do is we must gather. And so we gather around the risen Lord, and we celebrate his life, his death, his resurrection, his words to us, his teachings. And we do this Sunday after Sunday, even during the week. In the church, then, over the centuries, from very beginning on, we developed a calendar that guides our gathering. There are many calendars in life. You have a school calendar. You have a fiscal calendar if you're in some kind of business. You have a celebration calendar. You have your own personal calendar. We walk around with smartphones now, and they have calendars. I haven't figured out how to use mine yet, but it's there. Someday I'll figure it out. All kinds of calendars. In the church, we have a liturgical calendar that guides us. We are different because of that. Because we focus not on other kind of activities, on other kind of deadlines, on other kind of information. We focus on the Lord Christ. When I say the word Lord, I mean risen Christ. That's the title Jesus has. The Lord, when you say Lord, we mean risen. That calendar begins with Advent, leads to Christmas. There are 12 days of Christmas. Then comes Epiphany. There are 7 weeks. Then comes Lent. There are 40 days. Then comes Holy Week, 7 days, and then comes Easter. It's the greatest, most important season of the whole liturgical calendar because we have 50 days to think about, to pray about, to reflect on, to learn what it means to be part of the risen body of Christ. If Jesus rose from the grave, that means something for us, or it should. What is the value that you put on the resurrection of Jesus Christ? What's it mean to you? And in the church, by following this calendar, these 50 days, we now, from Easter to Pentecost, the next festival, we look at the resurrection of Jesus and try to figure out, how do we live now that we know and believe that Jesus rose from the dead. It's life on a different plane, on a different level. Let me show you how. Remember 2 weeks ago, seems like a long time ago for me, but 2 weeks when we gathered on Sunday, the gospel reading was about Thomas. Thomas is my favorite disciple because he's a doubter like I am. There's nothing wrong with doubting as long as you remain faithful. Thomas has always gotten a bad rap. When the disciples, after Jesus' death and after his resurrection, what was the first thing they did? They gathered. They came together in a room, closed the doors, closed the windows. The roof was drawn in, thick walls, and there they sat. And voila! Jesus shows up. He didn't knock on a real door, and somebody went and opened the door and let him in. He didn't come in through a window. He just came in. Thomas, he's a materialist. He likes things physical, real in this sense of reality. But Jesus, after he's risen from the dead, is not this sense of reality. He now lives on another dimension, on another level, in the kingdom of God, with God, in a close, close, intimate communion with God. And so he says, Thomas, come here. Put your hands in my hand. Feel the scars. Put your hand on my side. Feel the spear scar. You see, this risen Christ is still physical. He's got a body. Thomas could feel the scars, right? And that's one way of seeing where the risen Christ is. You look for the scars in the whole world. That's where Jesus lives. But he's also in another dimension. He didn't use a door to come in. St. Paul, the closest way St. Paul can describe Jesus is he has a spiritual body. That makes absolutely no sense when you think about it. You either have a body, real body, like physical, or you're a ghost. But you can't have both. But Jesus does. He's the same. Now wrap your minds around this one. He's the same Jesus, but different. Okay? That's for the first Sunday after Christmas, after Easter. Last Sunday we heard about Jesus being on the road again. Now, it wasn't a Willie Nelson song, so put that out of your mind. He was following two disciples who were traveling from Jerusalem to Emmaus, about 4 to 5 miles. And they were the saddest people in the whole world. The saddest words in the whole scripture are words that the disciples said, but we had hoped that the one who died on the cross in Jerusalem was the Messiah. But we had hoped. They lost hope. Hopeless. And Jesus just walked along with them and they talked back and forth and Jesus started teaching. That's what Jesus does the best. He teaches. And he's talking to them. He teaches them about the prophets and God's plan, God's scheme on things in the world and Jesus and God. And their eyes were so focused on their own pity that they didn't know who he was. He was the same Jesus, but different. And when they got to their destination, he took a loaf of bread, broke it, blessed it, and shared it. And in that act, their eyes were open. And they recognized the Lord, the risen Christ. That's who we're looking for in these 50 days after Easter. The risen Christ. Same Jesus, but different. And now we come to the fourth Sunday after Easter in our liturgical calendar. And the fourth Sunday after Easter is always Good Shepherd Sunday. You can look it up. It's always Good Shepherd Sunday. And I ask myself, what does the Good Shepherd have to do with the risen Lord? I couldn't figure it out. So I spent some time with this. The Good Shepherd leads us to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I need nothing else. When you can say that, you have arrived. You are with God. You depend totally and completely on God. Then you're living life on this new dimension. Then you too will have an altered state. It's the same you, but different. Now, what do you do between here and there? We get some hints from the Good Shepherd, and that's why the fourth Sunday of Easter is always Good Shepherd Sunday. You are known, not just by your family, not just by your friends, not just by your community, but you are known by the Good Shepherd. Jesus said so. I'm not making this up. These are Jesus' words. I came to call them by name. I came to lead them. And they follow me. In Jesus' day, shepherds did not shepherd huge flocks. The flocks maybe were 15, 20 sheep. You'd be pretty affluent if you had 20 sheep. And at night, just outside of the villages, they'd have these corrals. And in Palestine, they have more rocks than they have sheep. And so they'd build a little corral about 3 feet high, and they'd put the sheep in there. And in the morning, when the good shepherd came out, he would call. He knew the sheep by name. He would call, standing at the gate, and they'd come on out. They knew the voice, and they followed him. A stranger could come, could call the name. They wouldn't follow because they don't know the voice of strangers. But the good shepherd's voice, they knew. That's the voice you know. And so Jesus, the risen Lord, the good shepherd, calls you by name. That's the name that was given to you in baptism. When the water was poured over you, that's the name God knows you by. Not your given name. Schneider, my given name, it's common. But Carlos, that's the name God knows me by. And when I hear, remember how when your mother called you and they said your name and they had that tone? You could be 10 blocks away, your ears were like radar. And when God calls you, you know it. And then you are free to follow or not. Because when God calls you, it's an invitation. It's not a command. It's an invitation to come and join in the new life. In the life of this new dimension. Life with God in all its fullness. Jesus leads us to that. There are two different ways of herding sheep. In the East, in Palestine, the shepherd would walk in front of the sheep. And when my first parish in California was in the South San Joaquin Valley, and we had a lot of sheep there. And there were Basque shepherds. And one day I had a meeting from my little town in Wasco, California, to Taft, California. And it gets kind of hilly. Taft is full of oil wells. You know, it's an ugly town. You know, Wasco, agriculture. And whenever the Basque shepherds would, it was time to move in the spring, time to move the sheep to their summer pasture, they would take over the roads. And so I'm coming along, going over the rise and this dirt road, and all of a sudden I'm surrounded by about 200 sheep. What can you do? Well, you stop, and around they come, just go around the car, and then pretty soon behind the sheep came the Basque shepherds on their horses, and they had the border collies, and with the whistles they would direct the sheep strayed. They'd send the dog after it and bring it back, and that's how they went forward till they got to their destination. In Palestine, the shepherds in these smaller herds, smaller flocks, the shepherd would lead. The shepherd walks ahead of the sheep to make sure that the way is safe, that there are no problems, and that there is good pasture. And so Jesus, the good shepherd, in the resurrection, walked through the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't stay in the valley. He went through. He got to the other side, and he invites us to follow as well. That's how the good shepherd, the risen Christ, leads us. And he leads us, he says, I came that they might have life, life in all abundance. That's what all of us look for, the good life. But if that's what you settle for, that's what you get. That's not what Jesus came to give us, the good life. If you want to know about the good life, just watch commercials. You know, they lie about everything, so they might as well lie about the good life. You're not going to get what's promised. But Jesus says, I came that you might have life in abundance. The good, the perfect life, life with God. Now, we, every now and then, we stray from that. That's okay. God always takes us back. God always invites us back in to the flock. Always. There's nothing you can do that'll prevent God from inviting you back. Doesn't mean you can take advantage of God. You can. But you end up in the other place. God always invites you back. When you stray. In this little town where I was pastor in South San Joaquin Valley, it was called Wasco, Wasco, California. And it was known far and wide for having 23 bars and 20 churches. every church had a bar just about opposite it, you know, so we could give the right kind of witness. And in this church, Trinity Lutheran Church in Wasco, California, we had the custom of every Christmas during Advent, the youth group would put on a living nativity scene. Now, it was easy to get the animals because half of the members were farmers, and so we'd always get two or three sheep, we get some goats, we get all kinds of animals, and then the youth group would dress up, Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, and we always had an angel, too. I made sure that the angel was the meanest, worst kid, misbehaved kid in the bunch, and we put the angel on top of the manger so he couldn't get down and cause trouble among the sheep. And so we had this thing pretty well nailed. You know, we knew what we were doing. And towards the end, just before Christmas, it was a Friday night, I remember, we put all the animals in the corrals behind the church. And I went home, went to bed. About 1 o'clock, the phone rang. And it was the owner and bartender at the TNT bar. Ugly little dive, just about 3 blocks from the church. And he said, "Pastor, I am going to close up in about a half hour, and I want you to know that I have 2 of your sheep in my bar." And I thought, well, are they sheep, or are they member sheep? And I thought, okay, I'll be right over. And so sure enough, I walk into the bar, and the place was still pretty full, and they all applauded, and they offered me drinks, and then they brought out the 2 sheep. They were sheep. Somehow they got out of the corral, and then I had to take them back to church. That's what shepherds do, you know. How do you take 2 sheep 3 blocks? You can't stand behind them because they go this way. They're like my kids. So the bartender said, "Pastor, let me show you." Put a rope around the 1 sheep, and he said, "You lead them." And the other sheep followed. It's what the good shepherd does. And leads you to green pastures, to the abundant life. To that life that's the same, but different. It's life with God. You know you're getting close when you can say the words of the 23rd Psalm, "I know who my shepherd is, and I need nothing else." You probably know people like that. I've known a few, and I'm not there yet. Someday. My grandmother was that way. She had this simple trust, confident faith in the Good Shepherd. My dad was that way. Everything will work out. In American life, the person that I knew personally was Cesar Chavez. You could walk in a room and knew that he was there. He had that humility, that sense of God in his life, that was the same Cesar Chavez, but different. And I hope you arrive at that point in your life. It's the same life, but different. It's life with God. It's life on another dimension. It's the kingdom of God realized in you. That's the risen life. The Lord is my shepherd. I need nothing else. Amen.